Hello and welcome to this episode of HBCU. I'm your host, D. Brown, CEO. Joining me on the show today is Ray Cunningham. Ray is a graduate from Virginia State University. Ray, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me this morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. And it's all my pleasure to have you on the show. Now, I know that you have both a bachelor and a master's from Virginia State. So
yes.
Tell me, how did you decide that you wanted to attend an HBCU?
HBCUs are part of my family DNA. I'm a third generation HBCU graduate. My grandfather, Alfred Carr, went to Tougaloo College. My grandmother, Ollie, went to Jackson State University. My mother graduated and got her medical degree from Charles Drew in Los Angeles. And then there's me. I went to Virginia State University. Growing up in Virginia, most majority of my father's side of the family all attended Virginia State University. I mean, we have at least 40 plus relatives that graduated or taught or coached at Virginia State. And so I just was walking into a legacy that I was already familiar with. And it was only 45 minutes up the highway, because let me keep it real with you. In high school, I was not necessarily a scholar. That didn't kick in until my parents let me know that we're paying for this education. So if you're going to be here and be, and you know, have fun and carry on, you have to keep the grades in order to be here. But it wasn't until about 15 years after I graduated and from undergrad that I wanted to go back and get my master's. It was actually during 2020, COVID. There was nothing to do. There was no filming. There was no anything. Everything was virtual. But students were still going to school, still getting their education and graduating. And I have ADHD. I need to have something to do. And sitting at home watching Versus wasn't cutting it for me. So I said, you know what? I've always wanted to go back and get my master's. And honestly, I felt behind because the average degree in my family is a master's degree. So I was like, I'm a little behind. I said, so let me just, you know, let me do this. Let me get my master's in media management, because, again, I got my undergrad degree in public relations, had worked in television, been on television, worked at the TV networks, worked in production. So I felt like this was the next level for me to elevate as a television and media personality who had been doing this since 2006 and finished in 2 years flat, graduated December 22 from Virginia State University. So it was an awesome experience for me to get both of my degrees and be a two-time Trojan in two different eras of Virginia State.
Well, let's take a step back in time and take me back to your freshman year. When you first set foot on campus at VSU, what was that experience like?
The first thought in my head was, I can't believe that I'm not at home. I'm on my own. You know, I can hang out. I can go to the mall when I want to. I can eat what I want to eat. I don't have to get up at 8 o'clock. And when Saturday rolls around, I don't have house chores to do and things. It was pretty much, I was on my own time and I was able to make my own schedule. I was able to just adjust and really figure out who Ray was, because, again, I'm the third and I'm the youngest of my siblings. I pretty much fell in line behind everybody else and kind of stayed within the parameters of my family, you know, respecting tradition, how Black households are. But I was able to be on my own and make my own decisions, have my own voice and be my own person and make my own friends and not be the younger brother of or the son of or the nephew of or the grandson of. It was just me being Ray. And I really enjoyed that experience. And I really got to figure out who Ray was as a person and what my place was to be in the communities that I represented.
So what do you feel make VSU special or unique from other HBCUs?
Greater happens at Virginia State. I got my career in television at Virginia State. I auditioned for BET's College Hill, which was America's first ever reality television series. I was a cast member on that for season 3. And since then, I've been consistently working, again, on camera, behind the camera, and in the network office. And I owe all that to Virginia State, because if I wasn't in Virginia State and Tracy Edmonds didn't walk up on me at band practice, I don't know what I would be doing right now. I don't know what my career would be, because at the beginning, I thought I was going to be an English education major and teach kids. But clearly, my personality is so big, I think I would have been impactful in that as well. But I believe that God makes no mistakes. And so I was at the right university at the right time and the right person saw me. And here I am now, almost 20 years later.
Were there any faculty or staff members that played a critical role in your success at VSU?
Actually, yes. In undergrad, I had Miss Sandra Williams. I had to remember her name. Sandra Williams. She was the director of student activities at Virginia State. And she had me involved in everything. I was the class vice president all 4 years. She had me on the homecoming committee. She had me on yearbook staff. She had me working even as a student worker in the student activities because she said it's more important than just being an alumni and graduating. It's about being actively involved on campus and creating, helping create the culture on campus to make everybody's experience memorable, because then it becomes more of a personal thing for you at your university. And so I definitely thank Sandra Williams for that.
So what are some of the signature events or activities that you remember from your time at VSU in undergrad?
I had the opportunity of being Virginia State University's first ever Trojan mascot. So I got to go to everything. So I will always say that road trips to North Carolina, whether we were playing Winston-Salem, Johnson C. Smith, Fayetteville, or Central, those were always fun games. A big game for us is the Labor Day Classic against Norfolk State, big state versus little state. That Spartan used to give me a time. He was like full out dancing. He's like an Avenue dancer. I was like, I was trying to pop, lock, and drop it out here. But that was a good time. But Virginia State's homecoming is one of the most attended events as an alumni. I regularly go back. We have an all-black affair for the alumni. The brunch on Sunday is always awesome. And when we were in undergrad, we used to party at the Civic Center. And now the Friday before homecoming, they have an alumni day party at the Civic Center in Old Town Petersburg where we get to go back. And it really feels like we're in undergrad again at this, you know, old abandoned train station, no air conditioning, and they're just partying, having a good time. But I'm so proud of Virginia State University and the transition they've made and the additions to the university they've done. And I'm really proud as an alumni. Again, I'm a proud two-time Trojan, so I'm not going to say there's not an event at Virginia State that I don't enjoy.
So you said that you were the first mascot?
The first ever Trojan mascot.
So tell me how all of that came about.
Dr. Paulette Johnson, who is the coach of the Woo-Woos, every man that goes to Virginia State, every person that goes to Virginia State is obsessed with the Woo-Woos. Like, the Woo-Woos take over the football games, the basketball games, when they're on the yard. But, of course, back then, diversity was a little different, so there were only girl Woo-Woos. There were no boys. Not saying I wanted to be a cheerleader, but a lot of my girlfriends were cheerleaders, and I knew the routines anyway. And I was pretty well known on campus prior to me being on television. And I asked Dr. Johnson, I was like, hey, why don't we have a mascot? Every other HBCU has one. I was thinking that conversation went in her ear, not the other. She called me in the middle of the summer, was like, Ray, your new name is Troy. And I was like, huh? She said, Troy the Trojan, you're going to be the mascot. It was a head. See, it's different now. They got it easy now, but I had the original mascot. So I had a bodysuit, boots, armor, a helmet. When I tell you, I fell out of 2 football games, because again, this was kind of new to me. I wasn't used to a bodysuit. So I had to learn to be very well hydrated. I had work out with the cheerleaders and be in shape. But it was also getting to travel to the CIAA tournament, down to the Honda Battle of the Bands. I performed with the marching band. You know, it was cool being the face of the university. So it was an awesome time. You know, the mascot is still at Virginia State. I think they have 2 now, a Mr. and a Mrs., but I served for both. And it's an honor to be the first.
So how are the homecoming events for you guys at VSU?
Let me tell you something. Out of all the Virginia schools, no shade to Hampton, Norfolk, and Virginia Union, but Virginia State is where it's at. We have the best parties. We have the best homecoming lineup in terms of talent performing. And then on top of that, the alumni, it's a different generation. So the alumni actually wear a lot of Nelia now. When I was at Virginia State undergrad, only the old heads would wear Nelia, but now the young kids are wearing a Nelia, the older people are wearing Nelia. And I'm going to put myself in that older category because I'm almost 40 now. So I got a sweatsuit or 2 for Virginia State. But it's like a big family reunion. I mean, my dad is out there tailgating. Even the years I'm not able to attend for work reasons, my friends call me, oh, your dad's out here tailgating, frying fish. We over here with Mr. Cunningham. Wish you were here. Like, it's just everybody knows each other's family. Most of us have relatives that now attend or attended. Shout out to my niece, Taylor Henderson. She attended Virginia State after I graduated. I just had a cousin, Javon Burks, who just graduated. He played on the football team. So again, it's constantly like a family atmosphere. And shout out to all my other friends who graduated. This is how I feel old. A lot of my friends that graduated before me and with me, their children are now going to Virginia State. So it's homecoming has a different meaning for us now. You know, we get to see the kids and then we get to see each other. And I just say there's nothing like an HBCU. There's nothing like Virginia State's alumni following, because we literally all keep in contact and we look forward to seeing each other outside of Facebook.
Now, so, you know, those of us who have had the HBCU experience recognize how important the bands are to that overall experience. So talk to me about the VSU band and how they are instrumental in shaping the fabric of the HBCU experience there.
The Trojan Explosion Marching Band, we are the best band in the CIAA. Shout out to the Trojan Explosion Band, all my band family. The band plays a very important part to all social events on campus, whether the football games or during the basketball season or, you know, with the pep band. But it gets you hype and it lets you just be, it just lets you let loose for a minute because you're already into it. You're there with your best outfit on. You're there with your friends. You know, just it's just like the best. It's like having the best DJ possible at the best party possible. Like, the band will play anything from Neck to, we have our own Trojan Explosion song that we play that, you know, pretty much everybody that went to Virginia State knows. And they'll perform it with the Woo-Woos when they do Work It. It's really just showing off and just, you know, reliving those moments when we were 19 and 20 and our knees and backs didn't hurt and we could dance to all this stuff and just let loose for that good 30, 40 minutes, you know, 30, 40 seconds or so. But the band is definitely a major part of every HBC, not just Virginia State, but every marching band. Because I know when I was the mascot and we used to go to some schools, I ain't gonna say no names, who didn't have cheerleaders or didn't have a marching band, we'd be sitting there like,
right, right.
Why are we here again? So,
hey, so like, so Ray, do me a favor, take me back to, you mentioned earlier in the program that you were part of the College Hill reality show. So take me back to that time and help my viewers and myself understand how that all unfolded for you.
Yes, College Hill was produced by Tracy Edmonds for Edmonds Entertainment. It was the first black reality television series ever. And the first two seasons were shot at Southern and Langston University. So in the summer of my senior year, we were in band camp. There was talk on the yard that there was a reality show because reality television was pretty much new at that point. There was only like Survivor, The Apprentice, and I believe America's Next Top Model. So there really wasn't too much to pick from at that point in time. So I was just like, ooh, it's Real World. I always want to go on Real World. It's going to be Real World. I'm going to make it. And then they said it was College Hill. And I was like, that ain't Real World. But I was like, okay, it's BET. Okay, BET has reality shows. I'm like, But anyway, of course, band practice. Anybody's part of the band and had to rehearse with the band during band camp. There's no deviating from band camp. It's band camp, more band camp, and then a lunch. And Tracy Edmonds had already been interviewing people on campus. People kept bringing me up in the interviews, like, have you talked to Ray? Have you talked to Ray? Oh my God, have you talked to Ray? This lady came and found me at band practice with the cameras rolling. And that actually is a part of the first episode. They walked in. Of course, I knew who Tracy was because, you know, my grandparents used to send me all the old Jet magazines. So I had seen her in Babyface and Jet magazine. So I knew who she was. And I was like, this Babyface is white. Tracy Evans, what's she doing here? Not knowing her role. And she pulled me to the side and was like, you know, I've heard so much about you. I would love to interview you for College Hill. We're going to be filming here for season 3 at Virginia State. And she said, you come highly recommended. So I'm like, Lord, what have people been saying about me? I was a little controversial back in the day on campus. So I was like, okay. And I did one interview and the director, the dean of students, Mr. Cortez Dial, called me and said, you're going to be selected for this show. It's very important that you represent yourself, your family, and this university at all times once you get this paperwork. This could take you somewhere really far. And again, this is reality TV. So when I called my dad, he's like, uh-uh, Negro, you about to graduate. This is senior year. I don't want to hear nothing about nothing that's going to take you out of class. He's like, what is this? What is reality TV? What they going to follow you around drinking? He's like, you don't need to be on TV doing that. I'm a church person. Like, it was a lot of conversation about it before any, because again, reality TV was so new and people didn't know what it was. And it ended up changing my entire life. And I thank BET for that. At the time, Deborah Lee, that experience was very interesting because at that time, Diversity isn't what it is now. So it was tolerated, it was not celebrated. And I ended up becoming the first ever Black gay reality star on a Black gay cable network. There was Karamo on Real World, you know, MTV's white, and then there was BET. So for me to be openly gay and on BET, and this is the time when Terry McMillan was doing all that DL promo because her husband had cheated on her, and she found out, like, it would be College Hill airing, and then it'd be a DL Chronicles, like a DL special about DL exposed. So it was very controversial messaging back then. And I honestly don't even believe BET said the words gay. They said I had an alternative lifestyle that I morphed into because I was the mask guy. It was very intricate wording back then. But yes, I became the first of my kind for my community. And overnight, I was a spokesperson for an entire community that I myself wasn't familiar with at that time. Because again, I'm from Richmond, Virginia. It ain't that big of a scene there. I maybe have been to like one gay club one time. And now I'm the representative nationwide, globally at this point, for an entire community. So again, I had to quickly learn the community and all the different complexities of the community and, you know, make myself aware of what I was representing and what I had stepped into unknowingly. But I accepted the challenge and I feel that I have represented the Black LGBTQ. I don't know all the other acronyms. That's the new school. But I feel like I represent well for my community and I made the most of that experience. And again, I'm here today, almost 20 years later, celebrating the 20th anniversary of College Hill. So it was a good experience for me.
Wow. So tell me how College Hill changed your life. What were some of the positive things that you encountered or were able to benefit from after that?
For me, being a part of College Hill, I was able to meet people such as Omarosa, who took me in as like a nephew. I always call her and credit her as my mentor. She, when I, at that time, was living in Washington, D.C., she would take me to events, like very prestigious events at Howard, and I was able to meet a lot of dignitaries in D.C. and attend different CBC events with her, which I was able to meet Mr. Roland Martin and through her, and I was able to be a correspondent for him on his News One Now TV One show for about 4 years until I relocated back to Los Angeles to do Love and Hip Hop Hollywood. But I've been invited to the White House for the Black History Program. I've been able to serve as a virtual commentator for Mr. Biden and Ms. VP Kamala Harris. I've been able to just be in a lot of different rooms and conversations that a normal reality star would not be able to be into had I not made those relationships and was able to network the way I was and was able to articulate and have a larger platform than just reality television. I advocate for the Black community. I advocate for HBCUs. I advocate for LGBT. I advocate for equal rights across the board. But I'm just glad that I was not one of the one trick ponies who just came to get famous real quick and get a couple, you know, get some social media notoriety. I wanted to use my platform to be a voice for people who may be a little uncertain and not necessarily knowing where their path is because they're born into such greatness. Sometimes you just kind of sort of ride on that. And I wanted to create my own greatness. And again, people like Omarosa, people like at the time, Carlos King, and different people who poured into me at different stages in my life and told me things that I should do and advised me on. And I listened, even though I was very young, I listened, and that is why I have sustained and have had the career that I've had and had the opportunities I've had and gotten the awards that I've gotten. And, you know, it's very rewarding to me when younger alumni from all universities come up to me, HBCU and PWI, or just parents who were in school with me at the time, who still see me working, see me traveling around the country with the Black College Expo, you know, giving out scholarships and getting kids to go to school and, you know, trying to help us, because I want us to be in the position where we can tell our own stories and we can write our own narrative. Because a lot of times with these networks that I found over these past almost 20 years, it's not us behind the camera and in the director's chair writing our scripts and giving us our prompts. It's someone else. And I feel that if we give the students the knowledge and information, the tools they need, that can be them and that can be us telling our story.
So tell me why you're so passionate about your advocacy work. I know you mentioned, you know, equal rights for LGBTQ and HBCUs. So talk to me why that is so important to you.
My father always told me, with the listening ear and an open heart, you can change the world. Regardless of what my personal preference is, regardless of, you know, my background or what I engage in non-business hours, we're all Black, we're all American, we're all human, we all have feelings, we all have rights, and we all deserve the same education, the same opportunities, whether it's at an elite HBCU, a second division HBCU, or a smaller HBCU, or a non-HBCU. I just believe that we all are should be afforded the same opportunities because, again, as I say with everybody that I was on College Hill with, we all had the same platform. All seven seasons, we all had the same opportunity, the same platform. And what you choose to do with that opportunity is on you. And I just want to make sure that everyone gets the same opportunity so that they can make decisions and that they can have a fair chance in becoming who they want to be.
So what body of work that you've accomplished thus far that you're most proud of?
I created a board game called Yardopoly, which is an HBCU version of Monopoly. It was a limited sale, but I'm going to bring it back at the top of the year, and it sold out. And it was just basically, you could buy and sell dorms and academic buildings. I had HBCU trivia, Divine Nine trivia, and funny little things that you know about freshman year, like parking tickets and exams. And just, I made it so that basically you could get the HBCU experience in the board game, because during COVID, I realized there was no products available for HBCUs or for students who were interested in HBCUs. And remember, people were still graduating. They were still going to college. They were doing virtual visits and, you know, reading the websites, but there was nothing physical. There was no physical component for them to actually put their hands on and read and have open dialogue and some fun learning with it. And I just said, we need this. Because I have nine nieces and nephews, and they know very well Uncle Ray went to an HBCU, yep, and that's where y'all going to. Ain't no debate about it. But I just felt like there were a lot of students in other areas and other states and cities that didn't have the access that maybe my nieces and nephews had through me. And I wanted to have something where everyone could just celebrate the culture and experience of HBCUs through a familiar learning game, which is Monopoly. Surprisingly, out of 150-something versions of Monopoly, there's not a Black version of it. So that was one reason why I created Yardopoly. Two, HBCUs was on the agenda during Black Lives Matter in 2020. Everybody wanted to be HBCU affiliated, and we see now where we are. And again, so this wasn't just a gimmick thing for me. This was something to help educators, you know, have something in the classrooms for students to utilize and to learn from so that they have their own knowledge about what HBCUs are, what the experience kind of sort of is like from the fall through the spring up to graduation.
So talk to me about VSU and why you would encourage some young person to attend VSU or to attend an HBCU in general.
I would tell any young person of color to attend an HBCU because there's nothing like going to a school where there are people who understand you non-verbally and verbally. We know each other's body language. We know things that are unspoken that don't have to be said. We don't have to explain certain things because we already know what our tones mean when we say different things. And there's nothing like going to a school where there are different versions of yourself from different cities, different backgrounds, different majors. But we're all come from the same cloth. We all have the same goal, and that is to be Black and educated, and we're all young and gifted. But I will say to go to Virginia State University, because again, not only do we have the best president, shout out to Dr. McCullough, we have an awesome campus. It's an awesome experience. The academic buildings and opportunities that Virginia State has now is unbelievable. I'm amazed every time I see a new headline about Virginia State and the grants and the acknowledgement that they're getting. Virginia State University is a home away from home. You get to see a home. You get to see alumni like me at homecoming because I'm always there. we have a. It's a good time. It's a family. Again, I originally graduated in 2006, and I still keep in contact with all those same people with the career I have and how much I'm on the road and busy. I'm never too busy for my undergraduate friends. It's just a home away from home, and it's a great time to go back and relive some of the best years of my life, honestly, was at Virginia State University. And I don't regret that choice. I don't regret those moments. They were a little rough at times because college gets rough.
Right.
But I will tell you that the faculty and staff at Virginia State University, they are invested in you graduating. They're invested in you making a career for yourself, and they're invested in you coming back and giving back and reaching down to the younger Trojans and letting them know that this is attainable. So Virginia State. You want to go to any HBCU in Virginia, I'm going to say Virginia State.
Well, Ray, listen, I really appreciate you closing the show out so strong in support of your alma mater. I think that you made me want to come visit the campus for homecoming myself. So
I want to be there. Come. I'm hosting the alumni brunch and the SGA talent show. So please come out. We're going to be there the 9th through the 14th.
We'll see if we can get out there. Again, okay. I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for sharing your HBCU experience with myself and my viewers. But I don't want you to leave without presenting you with our HBCU Rising Star Award. And this is for your continued support and commitment to historically black colleges and universities. You'll be getting this in the mail. And I want to thank you so much again for being with us. And to my viewers, I want to thank you for watching this episode of HBCU. I'm your host, D. Brown, CEO. And remember, without you, there's no me.